It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkins Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Afternoons on the Score.
Today is the 19-year anniversary of Creed randomly playing a Cowboys-Broncos halftime show.
They insult every bit of my musical sensibilities.
What kind of music do they play? Rap rock?
No.
Whist rock?
That's it.
I don't mind Creed at all. I think they're a great go-to for karaoke.
Great.
They're a Pearl Jam knockoff. They're fun.
And now, back to VH1. Salute to singers from the 90s. Today's installment, why they all needed to turn every vowel into the letter A.
It used to be that you loved me, but now it's 1990.
I don't think you understand what they embody, what they freaking embolden. It's the end. It ended something which started very beautiful and very hopeful, which was the return of, like, some heavy, edgy rock and roll. Oh, I hated everything that they represented and embodied completely.
We love Scott Stapp here.
Scott Stapp, who's the lead singer of the third worst band in history.
I'm so glad that you guys are here today. If Parkins was here, he would have made me save that for 6:05, like my softball segments, but I was able to slip Creed anniversary in today without Danny.
You know, there's so many bands to choose from that are just awful and evil, sellout, fraudulent, 10th grade, suburban white girl, you know. I swear to God, that guy hangs out at a junior high school, you know, locker room, outside the girls' locker room, just writing down poetry, like he overhears. What? I will take you higher. Yeah, okay, good. And,
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkins Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio!
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
What are you shaking your head at, Speaks?
I'm shaking my head at the fact that right now on Twitter, I see that Hubarkish is now following both you and me. I didn't know he wasn't following me. I have no issue with it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's okay. And Hub is apologizing because he hardly follows anyone. He doesn't spend a lot of time there. Zero attention with Dan. It's okay. Everything's all right. I feel like Hub has taken the whole thing too seriously. I'm just glad we're not blocked by Hub, you know, because that's where we go eventually with Bears beat guys, when we go all the way to the tippity top. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, no, I'm trying not to talk about that anymore. But, yeah, which double B, not Bill Belichick, has me blocked on Twitter. I'm not talking about that anymore on the Bears beat. I know, I didn't care either. I pulled up Hub's Twitter account to, like, be like, oh, maybe he could tweet something nice about me as a way to pay off the bet or something like that, you know, get me more followers. And then I realized that he wasn't even following me in the first place. And so I decided to add that in. Did Shane go home early for the holiday, Tanny? Is that what happened? He's so mad at my clock management skills that he's gone home?
I mean, I certainly wanted to. It wouldn't surprise me, nonetheless, you know, because all the times he's left early the past week for all his various reasons, made up or otherwise. But no, I think he's doing some work in Russ's production studio. He should be back shortly.
I think he was shamed. It was shamed by all the conversation about his softball failings. Because it's the error more than anything. It's not just the 0 for 3, but it's the error. And it was a big error, right? I think it was like a gimme at second. He was just trying to make a pivot on what would have been, you know, easy play. Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah,
just really, really unfortunate.
Okay, there's really no point to talk about this if he's not in the room. So it's 5 o'clock here. Can we just move on, please?
You're 100% right. So here's my question to you, Speaks. You seemed surprised that I am not disinterested. That's putting it a little harsh, but like kind of disinterested as to who is going to be the starting quarterback for the Bears against the Packers. Like, because you said you think it matters for Matt Nagy's job security that he shows some competence here in the last six games. So you think there's a scenario over the next six games where it's bad enough that Nagy's gone at the end of the year?
I do. I do think there's a scenario where it's that bad. I thought Sage Rosenfels made a lot of sense this morning with Bernsie, talking about his time.
He often does.
His time in Houston with the Texans when he was there with Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak was the head coach. And they were bad for a while. They were bad. And Matt Schaub was the quarterback. David Carr was the quarterback. Sage Rosenfels was the quarterback. We should pull up his record, would you, with the Houston Texans, Gary Kubiak? Because his point this morning was that even though they would have some bad years, Kubiak's job security was solid because the offense was always pretty good. The offense was like, at its worst, 10th, 12th, 15th, maybe, sometimes better than that. And that was his calling card. That was his thing. It was the defense that was the problem.
61-64 in 8 years with the Houston Texans. Gary
okay,
Kubiak.
Well, tell me about those first few years. So 8 years with the Texans. Because the way Sage Rosenfels made it sound, there were a lot of people calling for Gary Kubiak's job, and he kept it. This was the point
six
of the
and conversation. 10, 8-8, 8-8, 9-7, 6-10, his first 5 years. Then 10 Ooh. Wins, 12 wins, 2 wins. And then okay, he was fired after a 2-11 start with the Texans.
So he survived a second 6-10 season in the fifth year of his run in Houston after at best
with his high watermark being 9 wins.
Yeah, and he survives a second 6-10 season. You know why? Because he was Shanahan's offensive coordinator. The offense was his, and the offense was always pretty good. What's the problem with this Bears team for the second year in a row? It's the freaking calling card of Matt Nagy. Sage had all the stats this morning. They're 31st. The Jets are 32nd in almost every offensive stat. And the Bears are 31st in almost every offensive stat. And the point that this is what you're supposed to be good at, and it's the problem while you waste a championship caliber defense last year, and maybe, again, you know, if not, certainly a contender-caliber defense. I don't want to lose the nuance there. But to have your calling card be the problem should give you a lot less job security than other head coaches.
I think it definitely has less. There's no question about that. And I do think it's championship caliber, right? Even if they're not going to finish as a top five defense this year, the defense would be better if they had a better offense. They'd be on the field less. They'd be playing with a lead more, right? The defense is absolutely championship caliber. I just think that they've been put they haven't had the takeaways that you would expect, but other teams also don't need to take risks against the Bears because a punt isn't a bad outcome because you're giving the ball back to Mitch Trubisky or, more often, Nick Foles. So I think the Bears' defense would be even better than it's been if the offense was even marginally better. My expectation is for a few reasons, but he's got 2 years left on his deal, not one. I think that's a big reason why he'll be back.
That is a big deal.
He was not hired as like the offensive genius. That wasn't the pedigree. It was best head coaching candidate Andy Reid had ever had. He had checked all of those boxes: leadership, players loved him, motivator, keep the team together through hard times, all that stuff.
And those things still look good. Those things still look pretty good.
Exactly. And so since he inherited a quarterback who was a failure, and then since his resources that were available to him in a COVID offseason with no OTA, no minicamp, no preseason were limited to go out and get, yeah, the guy that he wanted, but the guy that he wanted among a very limited group of people. That's like Nick Foles to me doesn't stick to Nagy like Trubisky sticks to Pace simply because of what you spent to acquire him, right? That feels fairly obvious. Like trading up and taking a QB second overall in front of Mahomes and Watson is different than, hey, we got no offseason, we got no resources, trade a fourth round pick for a 30-year-old who knows your system. It doesn't stick to him in the same way. And so to me, My guess is, and because I think continuity is a virtue that the Bears believe in and that a lot of good NFL franchises preach, my guess for how this goes is the rest of the season doesn't look much better than it's looked. But what they'll say is, we got 2 years left of Pace. We got 2 years left of Nagy. We're in a tough salary cap spot. We got a limited amount of time left for this defense. We don't want to tear the whole thing down. So what we're going to do is whatever resources we can scrounge together from restructured contracts, a first-round pick that you have for the first time in a couple of years since the Mac trade, other draft picks, things like that, they're going to throw as much investment into the offense as they possibly can and try to patchwork it on the fly to average. And just, I love the idea of Alex Smith in a draft pick. Like, Alex Smith helped mentor and tutor Pat Mahomes. We know he knows the system. We know he's better than Nick Foles. He's looked pretty good the last couple of weeks.
I understand what you're saying. I just have, I don't think I have it in me. I mean, we'll dredge it up. We'll dredge it up. I will find it in me to talk about the system and the right quarterback who is the fit for it. You know, and I know Alex Smith is.
I get it.
I know he's a success. I know he's a success multiple places, and even just being able to produce yards and points the way he is in Washington is remarkable. But it's just I am convinced now that Matt Nagy is not a good offensive coordinator / play caller. I have seen enough to make my decision on him. Now, they could have a great quarterback that can overcome it, but the idea of kowtowing to fit his vision of an offense, I don't need to go down that road anymore.
Is it kowtowing, though? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're good.
So would you fire him?
I would really consider it. I mean, really what I would do, if I owned the Bears, if I was a Halas, I would go get a freaking football czar and make them the guy instead of Ted Phillips, who makes all the damn decisions, and I would get rid of Pace as well. But it's 2 years. You're right, it's 2 years on the deal, so it's probably very unlikely that it's going to happen. But how can you look at Ryan Pace in an era where offense is king in the NFL and see a guy who signed Mike Glennon, drafted Mitch Trubisky, and traded for Nick Foles and think he has any clue what he's doing at the most important position in team sports? Get out of my franchise. You can't work for me anymore.
Listen, I think that Pace should have way less job security than Nagy. I think that is totally fair, right?
Like, but they ought to be connected. I mean, they ought to be connected to me because that's cleaner. It's better. And Pace picked Nagy, and then Pace either let Nagy pick Foles or they picked Foles together, and they look like boobs doing it. So I would clean house, but there's 2 years remaining, so I'm sure it's not going to happen for both.
Yeah, I would bet that it doesn't happen either. I definitely agree with you that it's cleaner to do both at the same time, but it's not impossible. It's not unprecedented to say, okay, we're hiring a general manager. There's 2 years left on the coach's contract. You can fire him in a year, and then you get to pick your head coach. Like that's not ideal.
That's not terrible. It's not. It's not terrible because he gets a year to look around, especially in COVID times when it's difficult to actually have people in face to face and do your interviews and figure out what you actually have here. To let a new GM, you know, watch the whole thing and see what he's got talent wise and observe. I think that could actually make plenty of sense.
I just think that what's the defense with Khalil Mack, right? Roquan is young. Eddie Jackson's young, Jaylon Johnson is young. That's a middle linebacker, a corner, and a stud safety. Like that's a good young core of the defense. Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Kyle Fuller. How much prime is left together? I don't think it's falling off a cliff necessarily next year, but it's not 3 more years of all three of those guys at, right, as tier one, top five, top 10 guys at their position. No way. Right. So if that's your window, I think the question has to be, what's the quickest way to average?
Yeah, like, make your offense. It's the same questions we had last offseason, man. It's so sad.
I agree, but they weren't prepared last offseason to move on from Mitch unless they got Brady, right? Like, we had the report. It seems to have been confirmed. The Bears were in on Brady. Obviously, if they get Brady, they would have cut clean from Mitch. But absent of that, they wanted to give Mitch this one last hurrah. So now, none of that's there. Like, they're not going to be beholden to Mitch. They're not going to be beholden to Foles. The contract isn't that prohibitive. Like, I think that what they're going to do is they are going to be very aggressive, and whatever it ends up being, to get a better option at QB than Foles, whether it's trading up in the first round again, which would be terrifying because of who's doing it, but objectively exciting. Trading a second round pick for a veteran who's like ready to move on.
Somebody's veteran, yeah. That's what I'm guessing is going to be the method that they use this offseason to replace quarterback, is they're going to go and find a veteran via trade, like you're talking about.
But I don't think it can be Sam Darnold, who I liked out of college and I thought showed some poise early in his career, but like, there's no guarantee. He maybe has a high ceiling. Like, if you were retooling the entire roster, I'd love Sam Darnold in terms of the whole quarterback roster. I'd love Sam Darnold because I'd like there to be a guy who's young with a high ceiling, who's cheap and has a big pedigree and all of that stuff.
Sure, I could see him fitting in your room.
But if the goal is have the 16th ranked offense in the NFL next year, you got to get a guy with a high floor. Like, you've got to get a Teddy Bridgewater, Alex Smith, like professional quarterback. Right? Like, that's what, and then
somebody manage your games in the way that we assumed that Nick Foles would be able to at least do. He's so inaccurate and puts the ball in harm's way and throws interceptions and just fails on open throws that he can't even just simply be a game manager. It's so disappointing. There are a couple spots that I can't get out of my head, and they're not quarterback related, but a misuse of personnel that I just find so egregious and so stupid. And I have no recourse but to blame both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy for this stuff. There's really three spots that I keep thinking about, because I think we agree that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are having these conversations about personnel and who gets used on a week-to-week basis, right? They're having
these
conversations. Yeah. Okay. So the offensive line, the utility of these guys on the offensive line, moving them around from spot to spot, who's better at center, who's better at guard, Rashad Coward being given repeated opportunities. There's no way that Jason Spriggs is a worse right tackle than Rashad Coward. Absolutely no way. And yet he was lower than him on the depth chart. Jermaine Ifedi being used there at tackle. Just the usage on the offensive line and the complete inability to identify who should be where drives me nuts. Cordarrelle Patterson, I love him as a weapon, as an overall athlete, but he's not a freaking point guard. And all point guard, running back. All it takes is watching Artavis Pierce for two running plays to say, oh yeah, that's just what a running back looks like. The league is full of just a guy running backs doing fine. And I bet you either Artavis Pierce or Lamar Miller could have done a hell of a lot better than the carries they shoved down our throat with Cordarrelle Patterson. And how in God's name you can spend, 5 weeks, 6 weeks with Ted Ginn as your punt returner when Anthony Miller just looked more explosive and more ready to do it immediately. And he had a punt return or two before they went to Ginn. Then they chose Ginn and let him stand back there and write his own ticket and not freaking catch anything when there were special teamers like Dwayne Harris they could have grabbed, or other people they could have grabbed, or Anthony freaking Miller, who's losing time at wide receiver two and is available to focus on that. They don't know what the hell they're doing too often with talent. I find it really distressing on both of them.
I think that's I'm not going to refute or push back on any of that. I think it is all totally fair. It's been maddening to watch. They should be bad, given the injuries and the quarterback play, but they shouldn't be this bad. And right. So therefore, it's a reflection on more than just the personnel. The personnel can be the biggest part of it, but it is more than just the personnel. And that's, I guess, the intrigue that lies in on if they can show any improvement over the last 6 weeks. I want to try to stay more on the clock so that Shane doesn't come over here and kill me in my sleep. But, Speaks, you know how, like, maybe Ruben does this? If he asks you for something and you say no, and then maybe he'd run to Christine and ask Absolutely. For something, like hoping for a different answer. I feel like this is a common refrain among kids.
Mm-hmm.
That happened on this show. In this analogy, me and Spiegs are the parent, and Tanny is the kid. So we'll see which parent had the correct judgment next on the score.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Station.
Everybody's got a price for the $1 million man. So without further ado, I will introduce to you now my mystery partner, led to the ring by his manager, Brother Love, weighing in at 320 pounds from Death Valley. I give you The Undertaker.
You big wrestling guy, Speaks?
Nope. I mean, I had a moment very early on when I was young and Sergeant Slaughter and Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Those were my guys pre-Hulk Hogan era. But then after that, nope.
So I wasn't either.
You're not?
But no. I know it's surprising, but, you know, Stone Cold, he was Jewish. Andre the Giant. That was cool. He was in The Princess Bride. I went once at the United Center. It was kind of a show. I got into it. But Tanny told me that he pitched you on a segment yesterday, a topic of The Undertaker being on Cameo. And you're in the big chair.
Yeah.
And you shot it down.
You know, here's the thing.
You dismissed it.
Well, the reality of it is that I was extremely gentle. The reality of it is there was an original text, and I looked at it and went, oh, God, what am I supposed to do with this? You know? Oh, my God. I thought about, how do I say I'm not a wrestling guy, but I don't care, but, you know, so I just found. And then we ended up talking about it later. I was like, all right, okay, I'm on board. I'll make nice. I'll make nice, and I'll make it work. But then I think Tanny read through that. He understood.
Well, yeah, the
I
passive
was.
Aggressiveness just seeping through your pores. And, like, again, this is not, oh, if you're a wrestler, you have to be a wrestling guy, quote, unquote, to understand this. I don't understand what's not funny about a guy in a costume doing a fake voice, reading cameos for $1,000 a pop.
And so that, right, Tanny's like, this checks all the boxes of humor. And so I just clicked on one, and I agreed. I thought it was funny. So this is like a divorced parents thing here, right, where, like, Speaks and I, Tanny pitched it to Speaks. He kind of said no, that I'm saying yes. And so who is the parent that had the better judgment here? This is, for anyone who doesn't know what Cameo is, you can pay either pseudo celebrities or real celebrities varying amounts of money, and they'll read you or, you know, recite you some sort of message. They'll wish you happy birthday, happy anniversary, talk trash to your fantasy football league, whatever. Like, my brother's friends had Brett Favre, he's a diehard Packer fan, record a very nice message for him before he went in for his brain cancer surgery, and it was awesome. also had an adult film star record one, which was very, very hilarious and enjoyable. So Cameo is like a big business, and people really enjoy these messages. The Undertaker seems to take it very, very seriously, and he charges a lot of money. I think Favre was like $500 for a one-minute message. The Undertaker's charging $1,000, who just retired, by the way.
Well, yeah, I think that was the hook, I think, is after his final match, like he was wrestling for 30 years. After his final match, all of a sudden he goes up on Cameo for $1,000 a pop. But that was the hook.
Yeah, so that's what gets The Undertaker to finally retire after 30 years doing whatever it is The Undertaker did. And so he gets on Cameo for $1,000.
And he's wearing a full-length leather coat is the thing. And the black hat, and he's just absolutely going for terrifying and imposing as his character through the years.
And I think he kind of nailed it. So let's get a sampling of some of these messages. What do you get for $1,000 to The Undertaker?
Thank you. Thank you for being such a great husband. Thank you for being such a wonderful father.
Kind of sounds like the coach of Indiana football. Doesn't he?
A little bit.
There's a lot of football left.
There's just a lot of football to be played.
Yeah, I mean, obviously slower. But, he's got the
all
there.
Elite Scooby-Doo. That's how I'm going to address you. Well, all Elite Scooby-Doo. Congratulations on getting married. You did the right thing.
Okay. All right. I found it now. I found my giggle. I found my giggle here. And the innocuous well wishes from a terrifying faux character.
And then there was
He's
a guy on there.
It very seriously.
Yeah. There's a guy in there who was just trying to sell his book.
And if people don't go out and buy that book, they may come face to face with horror. Horror of the Undertaker. Buy the book.
He was just trying to sell his book.
Before
people
are getting
death threats. Death threats if they don't buy the book. Taddy's broken, by the way. Taddy's dying right now.
But before we go any further with any more cameos from The Undertaker, again, these are $1,000 a pop. I had no idea. I don't know if you ever, play the net worth game. A name comes up, you're like, man, I wonder, how much money, that person, really has. And you Google, fill in the blank celebrity net worth. You want to take a stab at the net? Because you could have told me any amount of money, and I would have believed it. Like, maybe the guy had, some version of George Foreman grills and was worth $300 million. Or he was, he was on Cameo for $1,000 a pop because he had made a bunch of horrible investments. You want to take a stab at the Undertaker net worth?
I'll go $4 million. That's
Tanny, you want to take a guess?
$4 million.
I don't know.
The guy was a professional wrestler for 30 years. So you think about the licensing, the character, merchandise. I'm assuming he gets a cut from that. Let's go $500 million.
Jesus, that is ridiculously
high. We got a wide range here. We got a wide range.
That's just off cameos.
Yeah. After one night.
Yeah, did your Google search have the cameos factored into it?
I didn't. So, yeah, you're right. Maybe it's wrong. $20 million for The Undertaker. Because I feel like, Tanny, you'd like to think that The Undertaker got a cut of everything and his likeness. But
I think those contracts
are notoriously terrible.
Yes, I'm thinking he got taken advantage of for 20 of those 30 years in the business.
Yeah, maybe that's why he wrestled for 30 years. And they have this documentary series about him where you're following his final match. And then it just doesn't end. And then you think, this is it for him. And no, he's still wrestling, and we'll wait and see what happens next. It's wait a minute. I thought I was watching this to see how it ended. And then it finally ended on Sunday.
All right. So I'm just saying, for 20 minutes, I kind of respect The Undertaker's commitment to the bit. If you got $20 million of assets and money in the bank, yeah, I'm not sure that I'm getting into full costume and congratulating people on selling their book for $1,000 a pop.
I think about that when certain guys have radio deals. Don't you find yourself thinking about that when that guy makes
Ryan
millions.
Seacrest does a radio show every day? Yeah, what are you doing, man?
Or how about guesting you know, somebody making $5 million. I don't know. How about a guy making $10 million a year the last 4 years who was on The Score, like, you know, three times a month? I was like, what's going on there? You know, it's just a little extra pocket change.
Yeah, like why is Alan Robinson doing weekly radio hits for $1,000 a pop?
Well, that's
or something?
The thing. He really wasn't. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He just said he was, but didn't actually do it. That's a good point.
Right. That's an
you know why?
Point.
Because he probably thought to himself, why am I doing this? I don't need to do this. Good point. Yeah.
You take day by day, step by step, and each day things are going to get much better. And one day, your heart surgery will be a distant memory. But I won't, because I'll be haunting your dreams.
Good or bad time to mention I'm on Cameo for $10?
Good time. I think an excellent time.
What will you do for $10 on Cameo?
Literally anything.
Okay.
I do not make that much money here.
Yeah, $10 a minute. Okay. Because Bernstein is on for $20, right? You can get Dan to do anything you want for $20-$25 on Cameo.
Yeah, I think I paid him to make fun of you on Cameo a couple years ago.
Did he do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That checks out.
Memorable, apparently, for Danny.
So many people make fun of me, Speaks. It's just water off a duck's back. Yeah. People are like, oh, I'm going to insult you on the text line or on your Twitter profile. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's Tuesday. I know. It happens. It's not.
I was listening on Sunday morning to You Better You Bet? You and Costos, yeah. and Ross, and you guys were talking about how you didn't play in the NFL. Ross did. Costos was talking about how he was, I think, what did he say, 5'3" or something ridiculous?
5'7", yeah.
5'7", okay. And then you said, I'm 6'1", 160 pounds, and I have scoliosis. And,
yeah.
And yet, that was the qualifier, and yet you believed that you could have been better than something. I don't remember exactly who it was.
I don't remember what it was, but obviously I was probably overinflating my ability, just like in Miss Pac-Man or
basketball. Has basketball happened yet? Has that gone down yet?
It hasn't, but I am confident that dribbling uncontested from half court, I could make 10 right-handed layups in a row. I am confident of that. That is the lowest standard possible of basketball playing ability. Like, it's not like make 3 three-pointers out of 10 or make 6 free throws out of 10. It's literally make uncontested layups off the dribble. I could do it. I'm confident. Hey, Shane, would this be a good time to step away so I can stay on the clock and you don't kill me in my sleep?
No, we've got one more from The Undertaker.
It's The Undertaker. And your mom reached out to me. She told me you started a new school this year. In fact, she also said that you were quite the baseball player.
Could you imagine? Your mom reached out to me.
Mom,
no one wants to hear that.
Why are you reaching out to The Undertaker? Is The Undertaker my new daddy? Nope, not.
What's The Undertaker doing? Mom.
Can't even get it out.
That is legitimately terrifying. Gotta be honest. Would you ever do it? I gotta be honest. It's kind of a cool gift. Like, not The Undertaker, but someone else. It's kind of cool.
What's that?
Getting
a cameo?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I absolutely.
I get it.
I think it is. I think it is kind of cool. My friend Noah, when he turned 50, his girlfriend got him a Marshawn Lynch cameo. At the time, because he loved Marshawn Lynch, so he was digging that very, very heavily.
For all my 90 Day Fiance fans out there, I got one for my wife for her birthday this year of Big Ed, and I know you guys probably don't know who that is, but he's a very oddly shaped gentleman from the 90 Day Fiance show, and he was on Cameo. I think he had a chicken suit on. He really takes it up a notch, and you really feel like you're getting some value.
My brother loved 90 Day Fiancé. In the early days of sportslessness due to COVID, he said he found all the drama he needed on 90 Day Fiancé.
I wish I could blame watching it on COVID, but long before COVID, we were watching that show.
Is that $40, Danny?
I think it was north of 50, I think.
Wow!
But yeah, she got a kick out of it. So, you know, what are you going to do?
No, I mean, that just sucks for Bernstein.
if Big Ed from 90 Day Fiance commands a 2X rate from Bernstein, that's a tough butt. We'll put a bow on this thing. Speaks in. I'm the Danny Parkin Show on the Score.
Station. Danny Parkin Show flashback.
You know, Doc, legendary with his word choices, his verb choices. I've heard Al Michaels talk about verbs, too. Both of them have talked about, like, just the power of a well-chosen verb and how that can kind of push your sentence along and give you more opportunity to say stuff. Does that make sense to you? What do you think about verbs, Kenny?
Absolutely.
God.
I'm the worst. I am the absolute worst sometimes.
It was so funny because we were talking about Doc Emery. Everybody associates his immense vocabulary and the amazing number of verbs that people have with Doc Emery. So it's totally reasonable to ask a guy who's known Doc Emery since the early 80s what he thinks of his verb vocabulary. It's totally
reasonable.
What do you think
about verbs?
You just started the question.
Yeah.
Without the actual question.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you brought up the topic of Doc Emmerich's verbs to Kenny Albert, and you didn't have the dismount, and it just leaked into, what do you think about verbs, Kenny?
Yeah. You know me. And at that point, good. I just tried to laugh at myself and have it be as absurd as it felt at that moment. But you know me, I do that
sometimes.
The
only way to go.
It's not good. It's not good to start a question without knowing exactly what the question is. That's not a good way to do interviewing. That's
what do you
sure.
think about verbs?
Because basically I said, verbs really push the sentence along. What a jackass. Yeah, they do. It's kind of necessary. You got a noun. You got a subject of some kind. Then you got a predicate is what they call it in the biz. Yeah, you do need a verb. And then like an object of that sentence. You're going to need that in there as well. What I was trying to say was it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be descriptive in a rather efficient way if you successfully choose a really descriptive, well-thought-out verb. But all I said was, you know, verbs push the sentence along.
They really help a sentence get from the capital letter at the beginning of the sentence to the period or question mark or punctuation at the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
There's usually a verb that helps you get from point A to point B. Huh, Kenny Albert?
Verb, that's what's happening. What do you think about verbs? With action. Verb.
Okay, so that's what happened in that question there. What happened in that commercial that was just in the first sentence of the break? Because we can't pull the audio quite yet. You were just leaking confidence all over that, and then you just punted.
Yeah, I just I didn't have the read up. I wasn't prepared, and I forgot that it was the season for giving that DraftKings is so generously being a part of with their latest promotion. So. I fumbled.
My favorite thing was the hand. You put your hands up like this, like you're hoping for the computer to give you something, and then we just all just kind of cracked up at the same time.
Give me something.
And it did not. It did not. The computer gave me absolutely nothing.
What am I to do? That's so good.
Hey, can I ask you a question real quick? We were talking wrestling.
I shut it down.
So John Cena hosts that show Wipeout on TBS. Did you see this story? You guys know
Very
that
funny.
Show, Wipeout?
No, I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a crazy obstacle course.
It's like MXC. And,
what's that?
That show MXC.
I haven't seen MXC.
The voiceover of the Asian play-by-play guys.
Yes.
Okay,
that's exactly what it is.
All right.
That's exactly what Wipeout is. So they're taping Wipeout the other day, and this contestant completes the obstacle course, right? And then he has a heart attack and he dies. So he's dead. Okay? This happened the other day. At this point, it's game over for Wipeout. Right? I mean, you basically said, apparently our obstacle course kills people. We should probably stop filming. They're not going to stop filming. They're taking a little break and then they're going to go back to it. To me, it would seem to be the time to stop doing your show when you've just killed somebody with your obstacle course. Your thoughts?
Hey, if you're soft. I mean, the show is called Wipeout. He wiped out.
Oh, man.
The guy could be called heart attack, could be called tapped out. Well,
it's called run this
ridiculous. I mean, the guy signed a waiver, I assume.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he probably did. I'm sure he did sign a waiver.
I'm just saying.
Tanny and I have to sign a waiver to work this show.
Apparently not for tomorrow.
I mean,
so Tanny, you working tomorrow?
I am. Yes. There is, despite the conspiracy going on around here, to have the whole production team not work the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That's fine.
I think
I'll be here.
Shane has a softball quadruple header tomorrow.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. No, but if we want to start doing the thing where I'm judged for the vacation days that I'm allowed to take, then we can have that conversation too, Tanny.
Tension behind the scenes.
No, it's all for jokey.
Boy,
jokes.
You guys sound like Parkins and Hub over there.
Good radio.
Yeah, but Tanny follows me on Twitter. Who respects my opinion.
That matters. All right, well, Tanny's coming into work tomorrow. I'm coming into work tomorrow, but I mean, not really. I will be on the air tomorrow.
Shane's meet, 10 a.m.
So shameless. Can you dump that, Tanny? Guy. Unbelievable. I think I'm working with Anthony Heron tomorrow. I think that's right. My guy, Big Ann Heron.
If you're okay with it, I think I'll work since I'm on the schedule. Yes. Work. I mean, you know.
You're working with Anthony Tuesday of next week.
Yeah.
That's the confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate when I get Wednesday of this week and Tuesday of next week confused.
Well, I'm just glad that Danny's looking forward to his next day with me so much, you know. I've got him circled. Like, I get to work with Danny. This is great. And Danny's like, yeah, who's in tomorrow? I don't care. Some non-me person is going to be here.
Were you confused, Danny, because Anthony sent us 17 text messages during the show today?
Yes. Yeah. So I thought maybe he was listening and getting ready for the show, and I saw him in my email that he was on the schedule for next week. I'm looking forward to working with Anthony next week, but nowhere near as much as I'm looking forward to working with you tomorrow, Speed.
Good answer. And then Friday after Thanksgiving, Anthony and I will be here together from 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock as Danny, a full-timer, gets the long weekend off. So good for you.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm not working Black Friday. That'd be ridiculous. it's a good verb. All right.
Enjoy your afternoon with the part-timer.
Oh, that's old school right there. Thank you,
around the NFL guests, very much appreciated, as well as Kenny Albert and Hub Arkish, who is coming up next, by the way, after us. Thank you to Shane Reardon. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Matt Spiegel's going to be back tomorrow because, of course, he is. My name is Danny Parkins. This is the Danny Parkins Show on The Score.
Have a good night, guys.
Good night, here.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.